Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and welcome to episode 88 of HER, the podcast all about women, where we share the naked truth about her mind, her body, and her life. And this time it's going to be about her friendships. Before we start in, just know that this episode of HER is made possible by our wonderful friends at Smarty Pants Women's Complete Vitamins. They're delicious once-a-day gummies that contain the complete vitamin, mineral, folate, and omega mix, customized just for women. Trust me, you won't forget to take them because they taste so great. To learn more, go to SmartyPantsVitamins.com. And just a quick reminder to hop on over to iTunes after our episode and rate this podcast and review us, because guess what, honey? I read these things. Yeah, I do. I love to hear from you. All right, it's time for HER.
HER, the podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind. Her body. Her life. It's all about HER.
Ah, the healing power of friendship. I just love this topic. So totally transparent here. I'm horribly biased. I love talking about friendship. And being a physician and scientist, I love to talk about how friendship really ties into health, wellness, longevity, and all those other great things we like to talk about when it comes to how to be able to live our lives optimally. And I couldn't have two better people to do it, because guess what? They're best friends. For how many years? 47. They must have started as blastomeres in their embryos. Good Lord. This is just forever in a flipping day. So who do we have here? We have Dr. Wendy Satin, Rappaport. All right, she's a clinical psychologist and specializes in psychology-related facets of the healthcare field, working with providers and patients. She's also adjunct professor at the Diabetes Research Institute, part of the University of Miami Miller School of Medicine. Oh, yes. And then we have Sonda Neshin Bernstein, who is a clinical psychologist. She has worked in both school districts and universities. She's trained in psychotherapy, psychoanalysis, and is a school psychologist. She has a private practice. Oh my goodness, she's taught in Adelphi University's postgraduate program in psychodynamic school psychology. I'm going to say that six times. All right, so we have Dr. Sonda Bernstein. We have Dr. Wendy Rappaport, who shall forever hence in our episode be called Sandy and Wendy. Yeah. Sandy and Wendy, welcome to the HER podcast.
Thank you. You are so much fun, Dr. Peel. Peek.
Now, you like that. Well, here I am. Now, we have a book that you wrote that is fresh and hot off the press. And frankly, I have already gifted this to three of my best friends. I just love it. One, it's short. Thank you, Jesus. Two, it's got big font. Number three, the chapters don't go on forever and ever. They are succinct, loving, gentle, and slap you upside the head every now and then. I love it. It's called Friendship Matters, Memoir, Life Lessons, Laughter, by Dr. Bernstein and Dr. Rappaport. Ah, so this book couldn't have been written by two better people, your best friends. When the heck did you meet?
We met in, should I give the year? We met when we were early on in college years, and we stayed together from first marriages and pregnancies, and I recount in the book, we met for the first time, we went to the bathroom together, and we never stopped talking even as we were peeing, and we haven't stopped since.
Okay, now that was a visual that's kind of interesting.
But you know how when people, you know, you're polite if you walk into a bathroom and you go into the stall as women, you know, you don't talk anymore. But we did, which was fascinating to us. That's what I thought our chemistry started right there and then.
Wow. And then you went on to become clinical psychologist. That's wild. You went on to basically do just about the same thing in a little bit different sectors, but at the end of the day, really looking into the human mind. I find that amazing. Now, in your book, which, by the way, I just, again, I'm such a huge fan of. This is such a wonderful book, Friendship Matters. You started off with one of my favorite quotes from Virginia Woolf. Some people go to priests, others to poetry, I to my friends. But by definition, the best quote of all was from Linda Grayson. And we've heard this one before. There is nothing better than a friend, unless it is a friend with chocolate. Yeah.
But a really so why good did friend you got... is portion-controlled chocolate, because we want to be influences on each other. So just a small piece.
Oh, God. All right. Oh, my God. The PC police just showed up. This is terrible. So Sandy and Wendy, why did you write this book? Why did you really feel the need to write it?
You know, for me, it was like a love letter to Sandy. And I also, for myself, I have a compulsive need to help people feel better and do better. So what better than trying to reach more than one person in your office or 10 people in the group or 50 people in a lecture? Plus the idea that writing was so bonding for us, and it's so healthy to write. In fact, there's research on writing that when people have bariatric surgery and they write about it, they will do better. You know, and when people have friends while they're doing wound healing, and they write a story together, they do better. So we kind of thought we'd do all those things at once in writing the book. Sandy, you have
a thought? I love it.
Yeah. And I know. I love what Wendy said. And in addition, I think we wanted to celebrate this, not just the story of our friendship, take a look at it, but in addition, say, what have we learned from being friends? How have we grown, and what can we tell other people based on being psychologists and observing ourselves and our interactions over these many years? So there was the memoir part, and there's the life lesson part that we wanted to show, and then there is the laughter part. We hope that goes right through the book, that friendship is fun.
No, I loved it. I really picked up that laughter part big time because, you know, as you probably figured out by now, I'm all about using humor and integrating that. Because honestly, research also shows that if you make certain to integrate humor, that people remember things much more. And so that's pretty cool. I just, the book is wonderful. It really made me reflect back on my own friendships. And, you know, it's interesting. I have to put on my little scientist hat here and go back to some science that reflects on the relationship between longevity and friendship, which is really important. So researchers, you know, are really starting to pay attention to the importance of friendship and social networks in overall health. There's a 10-year Australian study that found that older people with a large circle of friends were 22% less likely to die during the study period than those with fewer friends. And then another study showed an increase of nearly 60% in the risk for obesity among people whose friends gained weight. Oh boy, so things are infectious. And then Harvard researchers reported that strong social ties could promote brain health as we age. So you put this in the book too. What did you actually find?
Do you want to go first, Wendy?
Well, I just would underscore the things that you're saying. And, you know, friends, besides making your lives longer, they're happier while they're longer. And that's more of a reason to live longer. And, you know, you're right that, you know, if you're overweight and you smoke and you don't exercise, but you have a lot of friends, you're still going to live longer than people who are overweight, smoke, and don't exercise, but don't have friends. So just in case people are starting from the bottom where they have a lot of habits that aren't so healthy for them, I'd say the easiest one is get a friend, because that will make you live longer and happier. You know, I think people, what we've done as friends is we improve each other, you know, and make our habits better, and we're accountable. And that's where friendship is wonderful in that way.
And I think just as you were saying, we really have come across so much data as we were writing the book about the power of friendship, that mind-body piece, that feeling good, that a friend who can be a good mother to you, have your back, that really does wonders, not just for your feeling, but it does wonders for your health. It does wonders for your, like how your immune system works. So that I think I came, as we were writing the book, more and more I wanted to say, along there with diet and exercise and yoga and meditation, friendship should be up there too. It's not.
Well, actually it is. It actually is. The research has shown that if you, you could do all the yoga you want to, you could, eat all the kale you want to, and, exercise, but if you do it in isolation, and if you don't have connectivity and bonding at some level with other people, then your risk for diseases, for instance, like Alzheimer's, increases precipitously. And this connection, really, this kind of friendship is so golden, especially as you age and as people in your life drop off, for a lot of reasons. I'm going to throw something up to you that's interesting because you're both psychologists. And something I've encountered with a number of my patients is that it's hard to make friends. It's hard to find people. It's almost like trying to find that perfect pair of shoes. Both of you, were able to find one another and link up almost instantaneously. It just felt great, right? Mm. It's like you walk into, that department store and you put on that pair of shoes and it's like, heaven, and there's no stress and trying to crowbar your feet into a pair of shoes that doesn't fit. I'm thinking in my own life, there are certain friendships I have now that I've had for a gazillion years that started that way. There was something that just worked, but you know something? It's hard to find people that it works like that with, wouldn't you say?
Well, I like your words that you used. Look, that if you're looking for perfect, that's already setting you apart from a friendship that's going to continue to grow together. And I think one of the things we talk about, so looking for perfect is not great. Looking for natural or similar, and there is research that shows people pick people like them in general, no matter what, they just do. But after writing this book, Sandy and I really realized how different we were. We were kind of shocked that we were so different, and how we have subtly learned to value the difference. But I think, attraction is one part, and then skill is another part. In other words, like when people have a practice of yoga or yoga practice, I think we kind of think you need a friendship practice, that if you kind of follow some skillful thing, you will do better. You'll have a better quality of friendship. Sandy?
I love that. I love the way you just said that. A friendship practice. Wow, that's really cool. Now, let me ask you a question. You said you guys had differences. Now, of course, I read the book, but for people who are not aware of your amazing relationship, what are some of your differences that you found kind of irritating and annoying, but somehow
she
learned
she
to...
Come
on, guys.
Dirty linen is going to hang out here, right?
Come on, dirty linen time.
Right,
come on.
Right. I think one of the most powerful differences that we really came to recognize was that I'm much more slow to respond and careful, and I could move in the direction of like avoiding, whereas Wendy is more spontaneous and she's there first, and she could be, she's certainly funnier. And so we come at things in a different way. And I think part of what we've learned is not just to notice the difference, but to appreciate the difference and say, sometimes we joke that we channel each other. Like I'm with a patient. I was talking to Wendy about this before. I was with a patient and I channeled Wendy. I brought more humor into it. I responded in a different way. And Wendy by the same token, was talking to me about how she could ask questions in a more sandy way. So they sometimes collide, as our example in the book, The Ukulele Story. Not going into it now, but we gave an example of it. And sometimes it collides, but as we've grown, I think we've appreciated that we are who we are. We're different. We like ourselves who we are, but we really appreciate what the other can offer us.
Yes, I think we're learning from each other, you know. And whereas, like you say so well, Pamela, in writing the book, we felt the clash, but we had a lot of laughter about it because we knew the end of the story was that we always want to be close. So let's use the difference. You know, like, for example, a friend of mine said she was going to retire, and somebody wasn't coming to her party. And I said, oh, well, write her immediately and call her and tell her how important she is to you. And, like, she's got to be there because she's so valuable. And I gave her a couple of reasons why people, you know, don't like being abandoned. But Sandy, who has the same friend, said, why is it so important to you that that person come? And I love that about her, that she's slow and wanting to understand before wanting to fix. I'm, like, persistent and fixer impulsively. And Sandy and I joke that I have to remember, if I incorporate her, I will look to see if there's water in the pool before I jump.
And if I incorporate
Do you think that you would be tight? Do you think that you would be, that there's anything to be said for, or maybe there's a problem with, if you have two people who are almost exactly alike? In other words, if there were two Sandy types or two Wendy types, and they didn't so much complement one another the way you two do, but you're more like the same. I mean, is it kind of the same thing as you see in couples? You see so many couples where you've got the quiet, thoughtful one and the other one who's out there rocking and rolling. What do you guys think about friendship with regard to that?
I think that's such an interesting question. I'm thinking as you're speaking, because I do think in couples, people, even if they're similar, just the need to individuate and separate from one another means that they're going to become more different over time than they might have begun. So I think kind of in a couple, your differences become more pronounced, perhaps. But it's an interesting thing to look at. I don't know the answer. It's just my first instinctive response.
But I think observationally, like, we do learn from each other, and where you're first annoyed that the other person, you know, made plans without asking you, you learn to respect that maybe they made good plans and they made it because you always say no. So you would eventually, if you talk about it, I think that's one of the things that we talk about, is if you talk about your differences and honor them and realize it's not personal. And how could I use that? How would I be better if I was more like you? And I didn't say you should be more like me. But you begin to ask yourself that question, you have more of an ability to want to add a skill that someone you're close to, whether it's a spouse or a friend.
Interesting. You know, I have a friend whose name is Naomi, and Naomi is amazing. She's one of those people who, the minute I met her, it just works, right? And what's interesting is she's different in certain respects, but I think part of the answer to my question that I asked of you about complementary or exactly the same or whatever, I think you have to have enough in common to be able to make it work, and then the rest of it you just sort of work out. So the enough in common is that, you know, professionally she and I are alike in certain regards, even though we're not even in the same field whatsoever, but she gets it. She gets that. And then the rest of it, if she's a little late all the time or, you know, whatever, overthinks things, whatever, it just works because there's enough of a solid foundation. That's a little bit of what I was hearing in your book. What do you guys think about that?
Well, and I like your point about that you get each other, that you really appreciate that when people like are late, they're not being late for you. You get her. Her planning, instead of thinking that it takes her 20 minutes to get there, she should realize it's 10 minutes to leave the house and 10 minutes to park the car, so it's really 40. And so you get her. You're not sitting there seething there being late, though you might have the first time. You get her. You appreciate her. It's not about you. It's not a statement to you. And that kind of healthy way of looking in the world that we don't take so personally, somebody's behavior that could feel hurtful to us, Because, you know, and what that skill is, it's what we call like emotional literacy, which is that you begin to be aware of your anger, say, at someone being late, but then you add the empathy of why is she late? So you're no longer angry because you realize she's not doing it to you. And so with the empathy, we feel better to people. And that's one
I love
of the,
it.
Yeah.
That's excellent. And, you know, what's also cool is, as I was reading your book, you touch on some really, really important topics that I really think that are major highlights that women really need to just sit back and think about. You know, you talk about, again, the emotional literacy, which I'm going to have everyone make sure to run and get the book and learn about. You know, and how to be a good mother in residence, which I really loved. You know, issues of boundaries, criticism, differences, empathy, assumptions, forgiveness, which is so important. And then what I loved was that you ended it with gratitude, basically, you know, again, a practice of gratitude. In your epilogue, I had a big smile on my face when I read it. You said, our book is finished. We are still friends, closer than ever. As a writer myself, listen, I can tell you, you know, we're still friends, really? friendship matters. We believe it even more deeply. And this is cute. We have tried to give you a glimpse of our friendship. It is not meant to be copied. Ah, go ahead, copy it. Seriously, be yourself and create a strong bond with a friend for life in a relationship that suits you both. You know, it's interesting about friendship. You know, this is the Her podcast. And so we're looking at women. I think women are really, really good at this. I think that men sometimes struggle with this. You know, with that no man is an island kind of gig. Some men have unbelievable friendships. I think a lot of others sometimes struggle with that whole thing and live a much more isolated life. It's kind of interesting. I know that research does show that we do that oxytocin bonding a heck of a lot better, you know, on the overall. And, you know, I'd like to put it out there for women in the Her podcast land that, you know, use a lot of the wonderful precepts and lessons from this wonderful book to not be afraid to make a friend. You know, what's the worst that can happen? The person turns out to be a jerk. Well, dump them. You know, if it turns out that it didn't quite work out to be the, and I quote, perfect friendship. Well, you heard from Dr. Bernstein as well as Dr. Rappaport, there is no perfect. That this is really, you know, a wonderful process over time that you navigate to be able to make that friendship rich through thick and thin. And so there you have that. And what I also loved at the end of the epilogue is our own unique friendship is an example of how we two people have learned to improve the quality of our lives through conversation, laughter, awareness, acceptance, challenge, and love, and constructive criticism. We plan to good mother each other until death do us part, and longer, if necessary. I this is beautiful. So for all of our wonderful listeners out there on the Her podcast land, you know, I want each of you, Sandy, we'll start with you, to impart one last marvelous Friendship Matters bit of wisdom.
Oh, I think it always goes back to me for me to the title that friendship really matters. And it's not just a pleasure. It's good for you. So go out and make a friend, deepen a friendship. It's so worth it.
Yes, and prioritize friendship as a decision, a choice, and make it regular. You know, Sandy and I speak every Tuesday morning from 9 to 9:30. So please don't call because you will get a busy signal. Some of you are probably saying, what's a busy signal? Where I grew up,
yeah, what's a busy signal? Oh, my, a busy signal.
I'm definitely dating myself.
And the other, I love it.
And the other thing is learn to give criticism only when you're feeling love, not when you're feeling angry. And remember the love part and when you give it, so that you don't think that the person is all bad, that you remember how open they've been to you in the past, and now they seem closed off, you know, and you want to get that back. So you start out with a compliment, not a false one, but the truth, the perspective about what has worked well. And then in receiving it.
I love it. I love it.
And then in receiving it, say, thank you for telling me something that must have been so hard to say. Tell me more about what you mean. And yes, I'm shocked, but I want to hear more about it. And that we want to be receptive, because we can't fall apart from somebody's opinion. Their opinion is not the truth. It's their feeling. And you'll both grow.
I love it.
Yeah.
That's fabulous. I just totally love it. You know, so you just imparted a couple bits of wisdom there that I can't get enough of. All right. So the first one was, when you do the constructive criticism, do it when you're not angry. That's important.
Right.
And then when you receive it, assuming it wasn't done in anger and it was done in love instead, to say, you know, I know that must have been really, really hard, but wow. I'd like to hear some more, and I want to try to understand where you're coming from. That's just killer. Oh my gosh. I'm going to remember that. Those are golden noodles right there, man. I'm loving it. And
you are
so gold. That's good.
Sandy, can she be our friend? I'm starting to like her very, very much.
Well, listen, I also understand what a busy signal is. You know, I'm going to impart one last little bit of a golden nugget for everyone. Friendship is also work. Okay. So just like any relationship is, you got to work it. So make the time for that phone call, right? On a weekly basis or whatever you're doing, make the time for the coffee, the lunch, the dinner, you know, just hanging out, running in the park, going to the gym, whatever you do, just make the time and really, really, really listen. So, you know, this is effort put out, but guess what? The return on investment is priceless, absolutely priceless, just like this book. So, we have been talking with Dr. Wendy Rappaport and Dr. Sandy Bernstein, clinical psychologists who've written a gem of a book. So run out and get it. It's called Friendship Matters, Memoir, Life Lessons, and Laughter. And their website is, well, interestingly, friendshipmattersbook.com. To learn more about their wonderful work, Sandy, Wendy, thank you so much for being on the Her podcast. And remember to catch every episode of Her. Just hit subscribe on iTunes or on our show page at RadioMD.com. And please just take a few seconds and rate and review the podcast, because I want to hear from you. That's right. I read these things. I love to connect, make friends with you even. So I'm Dr. Pam Peake. Follow me on Twitter at PamPeakMD, and you can also check out our Her show page at RadioMD.com for all of our past episodes. Thanks for listening, and stay well.